The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Sharks put it back. Celebrini pushing it across the line to churn a shot in the right corner. Back for Celebrini. Oh, the puck was bouncing on him. Otherwise, he would have tried to get it. He backhanded the slot. Loses it. Churn a shot in front by himself. He scores. What a spectacular play by Macklin Celebrini. The first play, he realized he couldn't control it. He backhanded the slot. It went off a body. Chernyshov went to the front of the net. Celebrini grabs it and slips it over to Chernyshov for his second goal of the year. That's a great way to put the Sharks in front 3-1.
Yeah, I think it starts with our leadership group. You know, Ryan Reeves has been such an important piece to our team as far as being a voice in that locker room in between periods. Barkley Goodrow as well has been around a long time. Toffoli, Wenberg. I mean, our leadership group, I can't say enough good things about them. Max coming to his own. The accountability that we show when there is mistakes. You know, and we kind of saw it tonight after the second period. We kind of got on our heels. And the first time in my 4 years where the chatter in the locker room was very impressive as far as how we need to play going forward. Did we do that perfectly? No, but we are making strides to understand how we need to play in certain times, and that's a big positive.
Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks hold on for a wildly impressive 5-4 win over the Anaheim Ducks last night. It is the morning of Tuesday, December 30th, 2025. We have today and tomorrow left in the year. We've got a game tomorrow, 1 o'clock start, a New Year's Eve day matinee. I'm loving that start time. But the San Jose Sharks currently occupy the second wild card spot in the West. 19 wins, 17 losses, 3 overtime losses, 41 points. Again, tied in points with LA. LA has a better winning percentage, but the fact of the matter is San Jose is playing very, very good hockey right now in the sense that they're learning how to win games when everything does not go their way. And I think that there is no greater reference point than to go back to game one of a year ago. Not this past season, game one, where, yes, they couldn't hold on to the lead, but I'm going back to the first ever game with Macklin Celebrini where they have a 4-1 lead on the Blues and end up losing 5-4 in overtime. You look at how much they've grown since then. You've looked at the leadership. You've looked at the talent. You've looked at what they are now able to do in terms of managing a game. It's hard to argue with. The San Jose Sharks are simply a better team than they were. They are a more experienced team than they were. They understand more about what it takes to get wins in this league. The young players are coming into their own. Macklin Celebrini is one of the best players in the NHL. It's undeniable. Igor Chernyshov is rapidly turning into a star in this league. Colin Graf, probably unappreciated by the league at large, but he's having an impact on every single game that he plays. And you have veteran leaders like Ryan Reeves and Barkley Goodrow, leaders, veterans, guys that are helping them get these wins. And then you see Zach Ostapchuk, who was acquired in that trade towards the end of last year. And you see, obviously, the impact that he's making on games. This isn't happening by accident, guys. I think it's the idea of what we talked yesterday with Sheng Peng on the build-up. If you missed that interview, I highly suggest you go back and listen to it. But it's the idea of the plan coming together as intended. And yes, I don't suppose you ever could have planned for Macklin Celebrini to have as rapid an ascent as he did in the NHL. But the fact of the matter is the Sharks put together a roster a couple years ago that they knew was not going to be wildly competitive. And they ended up with the first overall pick. And again, I'm not saying they tanked in the classic definition, but they knew what they had to do. They knew that they had to acquire picks. And so they did that. And with those picks, they got players like Macklin Celebrini and Sam Dickinson, as well as Igor Chernyshov. All three of those players were in the lineup last night. All three of those players had an impact on the game. And the guy who's had the slowest ascension up to this point, Sam Dickinson, with these consistent games that he's playing, his game is getting better. His defensive work, specifically the way he's breaking up passes, the way he's stepping into things, he's creating offense out of his defense, which is the whole point, right? Like, it's not just about shutting down the opposition. It's about stopping their momentum, putting it back the other direction, making things happen. And, you know, the fact that the Sharks are doing this while they're beat up, while they don't have Will Smith, while they don't have Philip Kurashev, while they don't have Adam Gaudette for a good portion of last night, Macklin Celebrini going out without or going down with an injury momentarily. You know, this is the San Jose Sharks relying on their depth. This is relying on their pieces, on their, you know, drafts with Chernyshov coming up in light of Will Smith getting hurt. Zach Ostapchuk, he's a trade acquisition. You know, you look at Ryan Reeves, he's an offseason trade acquisition. Barkley Goodrow is a guy that I don't think a lot of people thought he would be part of this team again, but Mike Greer went out and got him. I mean, you start talking about all these players, all the change that's been here in San Jose, it's yielding results. And I know that the plan, quote unquote, can never be purely outlined. It's never linear, right? But it is working right now. And I go back to my season prediction of where I said I thought they were going to get off to a hot start and then peter out maybe around December, January. Well, that hasn't happened yet. And I think that's because we just didn't know what was here. We didn't know that Colin Graf was going to turn into such a player. We didn't know that Igor Chernyshov was going to come up and have such an immediate impact. And we can keep on going down the list. But, you know, I watched the in-game adjustments from San Jose last night. And let's give Anaheim a lot of credit because they're a young, talented team as well who has a lot of potent firepower. But they kept on coming in waves. And it reminded me early on of what we saw against Vegas. And I did a, type reaction early because it was odd man rushes. It was the Sharks being put on their heels, but the Sharks absorbed it and they didn't play their 1000% best game out there on the ice. Yaroslav Askarov made a critical mistake to let a goal go in. He almost did it twice, right? The Sharks dealt with it. They managed bumps in the road. They dealt with the difficulties that were dealt to them during the game. And that to me is indicative of many of the reasons why I think they're going to continue to stay in this playoff race. I mean, A is Macklin Celebrini because he is a, we can argue about what this means, but he is a generational talent in my mind, and he is going to drag this team as far and as long as he can. And he is going to show everyone at these upcoming Olympic Games that he is truly one of the best players on the planet. And I think if there's any doubters, I think those doubters are going to understand why we in San Jose are so excited about everything we're seeing. By the way, last night I was looking back at a tweet that was from early on in the season after the that four-game road trip in which Macklin Celebrini had the five-point game against the Rangers, and then he had that game-winning overtime goal. And I tweeted out, Macklin Celebrini's on pace for 137 points, and somebody commented on the tweet, and they said, easy, it's against the Rangers in the Wild, to which I almost responded last night, hey, it's December 29th, and Macklin Celebrini is on pace for 126 points. 126 points is what he's on pace for right now. And you cannot argue with that point total when we're not, you know, fewer than 10 games into the season. Now we are talking about Tuesday, December 30th. Now we are talking about 39 games gone down. Now we're talking about everybody realizing that the San Jose Sharks are a team to be taken seriously at the very least. Macklin Celebrini is quickly evolving into one of the best players in the league. I mean, he is one of the best players in the league, but I think the height of his game is still out there. We still don't know how good he can be, and I think everybody is a little bit scared about that. And then you watch the immediate chemistry that he finds with players like Colin Graf when he comes up onto his line, and then Igor Chernyshov when he comes up onto his line, William Eklund suddenly finding his offensive game again now that he's up on Macklin Celebrini's line. There was a great line that was told to me by Roy Sommer about Joe Thornton saying he made more millionaires in the South Bay than anybody that wasn't in tech, which I thought was a great line. But now Macklin Celebrini is having that effect on other players. And I'm not trying to take anything away from these players, but Macklin Celebrini he's the spark, right? He's the fuel that fires the engine. He makes the Pistons pump and turn and makes this whole Sharks project work and make it that much more entertaining. And you need players like that. I'm not trying to take anything away from everyone, but you watch the impact he has in the game. But, you know, to create opportunities for players like Igor Chernyshov to have that ability to go backhand, like William Eklund to have the ability to score a big goal. You know, those are huge, huge plays in and of themselves. But the fact that so consistently it's all centered around Macklin Celebrini, that just gives you so much just respect for what he does, appreciation for his game, and just awe and amazement. You know, I think about the athletes that have done that in my lifetime here in the Bay Area. I was born in 1982, and obviously in the 80s early on, it was, you know, Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, and then it was Steve Young, and then it was Barry Bonds, and then it was Steph Curry most recently, and now it's Macklin Celebrini. And I'm not trying to knock on any of the previous Sharks that have been here and some of the incredible things that they've done, because Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau and Tomas Hertl and Logan Couture and Joe Pavelski, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We go down the list of great and incredible players. But I just think at this point there is something different about Macklin Celebrini. His overall ability, his impact on the game, the way he plays, it's just legitimately different. And again, I'm not trying to take anything away from anyone, because Joe Thornton in particular was, you know, one of the best players of all time, and he was an incredible, incredible player, but he did not break games the same way that Macklin Celebrini has the ability to break games. And I can't believe I'm saying that about a 19-year-old. And that's something that I keep on coming back to. Macklin Celebrini is 19 years old. He's on pace for 126 points and shows absolutely zero signs of slowing down. And if anything, the pace is picking up. The speed at which he plays the game is picking up. The way at which he sees the game is becoming more lethal and more definitive. He sees the game before the game happens. And that's the take I had earlier this year, and I had it last year, although I didn't share it as much because I didn't want to get too lost in the hyperbole or being a homer. But Macklin Celebrini, if you watch the defensive play that led to his goal last night, you know, he stops the puck, he gets down center ice, he's in the right place at the right time. You know, he knocks it in, he's falling down, he's scoring a great goal. He knows what's going to happen ahead of it. Or at least, I know that he doesn't have a clairvoyance, guys. I'm not insane. But he does have the ability to read a play and see where guys are going to be and see the development. And he knows how to get between the dots, get up the spine, get into the slot, be in the right place at the right time or towards it, and make the right play. I mean, that is as close to clairvoyance or, you know, the ability to see the future as you can possibly get. And then you start combining that with players like Will Smith, who I wish Will Smith was out there right now because, you know, he'd be having so much fun. And I think that the Sharks have obviously missed his depth scoring, but, you know, Will Smith's ability to be a playmaker and a play creator and a generator of offense. I know that he's not as willing to shoot as maybe we would like at times, but when he comes back into this lineup, that's just going to give the Sharks another weapon combined with what we're seeing with Igor Chernyshov. Igor Chernyshov, again, I saw it immediately in that first game where he had a drive on the near post and just looked like a freight train, and that was kind of the term I've been going with. He gets a couple steps, and then he just takes off, and that's not normal. You know, he has a very upright posture when he skates. Like I said, it reminds me a little bit of Connor McDavid because he takes the short, choppy steps, and then all of a sudden he's off and moving, and once that momentum gets going, good luck slowing him down. Defenders bounce off of him. But in addition to the speed and the power generated that we've seen up to this point, last night where he switched to the backhand, showed off the soft hands, right? Like showed off his ability to be calm and cool and collected in a critical situation. You know, that was just so huge. You watch these players develop. You always have hope when they're drafted, right? You think, man, he could be great one day. One day has arrived for the San Jose Sharks so much more rapidly than we could have ever envisioned. And again, you go back to what this front office has been able to organize. You know, Macklin Celebrini being the obvious number one, you know, they had to get that pick. Okay, they got it. But they also selected Will Smith. They also got Colin Graf undrafted, right? You know, they also got Igor Chernyshov after his stock was down because he had suffered an injury. But it's working out, and it's yielding results in very, very high order. And Yaroslav Askarov, even though he's a little bit maddening at times with some of his play, and he's got to get these out of his systems, and goalies are not immune to making mistakes because he is so confident with the puck and wants to go out behind the net and be part of the play, but he has to learn from those mistakes, but he is such a good goalie as well. You know, the goals that he did give up last night, I'm not really putting them on him except for that one when he got out of the net, and I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Then he almost did it again. They're trying to give Teddy a heart attack. All right. But that is part of the learning process. And frankly, the way that he does get out and play the puck, it's going to pay dividends at some point. And I can't say that it hasn't already. I'm just saying that that ability, his desire to come out and play the puck and try and find guys, it reminds me of the first Barracuda game that I broadcast last year where he made a stop and got out of the net, threw the puck down, played it up the right wing, and found a man going to the net, and it scored. You know, it was just like, hey, he saw it. He moved it up the boards. He got an assist, and the Sharks scored. Now, that's the kind of thing that a goalie like that, as maddening as it may have been last night, he can provide further down the road. Because the Sharks, at least I don't think, because so many of us have been proven wrong up to this point of the year, they're not a true contender this year. But in the years when they do have true contention, they are going to have a player like Yaroslav Askarov out there on the ice. He will make a critical play. It'll go a long way in helping the Sharks make some sort of a deep run, or at least that's the type of hope I am having, because when a guy has that type of instinct, when he has that type of desire to make a play happen, it usually doesn't happen by accident. It's usually because they see the game a little bit differently. They're able to step out and step up and make something happen. And when you have that type of excitement, yes, at times it can yield to a bad result like we saw last night, but it's hard to not see the potential positives as well. And you know, last night guys did make mistakes. It was not a perfect game. You know, the Sharks took penalties later in the game, but again, at the critical moment, they stepped up to the critical junctures. And that's what I was so impressed about. You know, when they're dealing with extra attackers, when the net is empty, things of this nature, that's the team dealing with reality. And Anaheim was not going away. San Jose has been that team various times this year and last year as well. You get that extra attacker out there. You have young guys that are full of confidence and the belief that they can make anything happen at any time. That is not something you want to have to deal with. And for the San Jose Sharks, they know exactly how to manage those situations because they've been the generators of those situations. They were calm. They were cool. They handled the kills, you know, especially there late in the game. And that was a big part of walking away with the win. One of the things that we have talked about so much this season, as opposed to last year, is that the Sharks were not playing in quote-unquote important games, and that the longer the Sharks can play in this playoff race this year, that the more and more down the stretch they can have quote-unquote important games, especially on the other side of the deadline. But I also have to bring up the fact that right now the Sharks are playing like these are important games, because I think for all of them, and especially a guy like Mario Ferraro, they don't want to deal with this anymore. They don't want to be in the bottom. They don't want to be a team that is a part of that type of losing any longer. I think they were all sick of it. I think that the way that last year ended, you could see how heavily it weighed on them. And I always give them credit for having really good vibes last year. There was never a problem. There was never an issue to that extent. But I do think that they were just done with it. And I can't say that that's going to have them not have a hiccup this year, and I'm not saying they will most definitely end up in a playoff spot this year, but you can see just how much the mentality has changed, their ability to manage games, and maybe it took that 0-4-2 start. You know, I don't think that everything happens for a reason, but I do think that you can derive meaning out of the various situations that life throws at you, especially as a sports team, and you can go through painful losses, and you can be reminded of what happened in years prior. And the Sharks, who probably came in with a whole load of confidence this year and a whole load of expectation, had to have that stark reminder early on of just because you're talented, just because you think you can take that next step, you have to be taught what it takes to take that next step. And a loss as painful as they want to have had in game one against Vegas. You know, that was unbelievably painful. And then the way they were not able to hold on against Anaheim and ended up on the losing side of that one in game number two. And then the way that it continued through their first six games of the year, 0-4-2. We were all worried that it was spiraling out of control again. And I you know, was sitting there thinking, how did this happen? How did this team that I thought and was pretty sure at that point had the ability to play above their heads for a while before it all kind of faded out? And now I'm not even sure that prediction is going to come into the reality, but you know, it just didn't make any sense, right? And then now I look at it and I think that reminder served them purpose, meaning, definition, and understanding of what it takes to be able to win in the NHL. And they really haven't slowed down since. Yes, most recently there was the three-game losing streak, but those two games against Dallas and Seattle, they were better. They were the better team out there on the ice. And then you look at that whole stretch. It's like, well, they won three in a row, they lost three in a row, and now they've won two in a row. So that's 5 out of 8. 5 out of 8 games in the NHL, if you walk away with a win, that's a pretty good formula for walking away with a playoff spot when all is said and done. That's a .625 winning percentage. If you look at the top team in the Pacific right now, it is Edmonton with a .575, well, points percentage, I'll put it that way. And then you look at Colorado, they've got an .855. You look at the wild card in the East, it's a .579 and a .577 points percentage. You know, you look at Carolina, .671, Detroit, .613. But again, winning 5 out of 8 games, that's a winning percentage that's going to put you in the playoffs in the NHL. So for the San Jose Sharks to be at that level amidst their worst downturn of the year since the 04-02 start, that's encouraging, if nothing else. All right, let's get into some of these highlights from last night. God, what a fun game that was. Guys, if that was a look at the future and the rivalry between these two teams, oh man. Like I said, don't give me a heart attack, A, but also give me all the thrills and spills that this matchup has the ability to provide. All right, let's go back to how this game started. Mario Ferraro getting the San Jose Sharks on the board first.
Here's Leo Carlson picking up speed. Down the left side, across the line. Bumped there by Mukko Maduna, knocking him away from the puck. Gaudette, far side of the ice. Checked there by Lacombe, but he slips it out. Here's Wennberg moving quickly against Hellison. Spinning in front. Ferraro shoots, and he scores! Mario Ferraro jumping up into the play. Great spin pass from the corner by Wennberg, and Mario Ferraro scores the 100th point of his NHL career with 9:17 to go in the first period to make it 1-0 San Jose.
And that was just against the run of play at that point. That's why it was so effective. The Ducks had by far been the better team up to that point, but San Jose was able to absorb it. Alex Wennberg with an absolutely brilliant pass to feed Mario Ferraro, and the Sharks take a 1-0 lead. But Anaheim would have a response. Troy Terry would catch Yaroslav Askarov out of his net and be fed the goal to tie things at 1, but the San Jose Sharks once again had a big-time response. This time, Macklin Celebrini giving San Jose a 2-1 lead.
Carlson will step in now against his fellow Swede. But Wennberg wins that draw back, but unfortunately, Granlund hustled to the puck first and poked it out to center. Sharks get it back, moving in. Wennberg, lead pass. Celebrini moving in. He shoots. He scores. Macklin Celebrini taking the pass from Wennberg, moving down the middle of the ice all by himself. No chance for Dostal. That's number 21 of the season for Macklin Celebrini, and the Sharks lead it 2-1 with 47.9 seconds left.
Macklin Celebrini has 60 points on the year. He is 6 shy of Nathan MacKinnon, and he is 9 shy of Connor McDavid, who are otherwise the 2 best players in the world right now. He is 4 points ahead of Leon Draisaitl. Mikko Rantanen has 54 points. So right now, Macklin Celebrini, again, he is playing at such a ridiculously high level. But I love the response that that goal represents, because San Jose had just given up a goal that was, I won't say demoralizing, but it was off a mistake, right? Like, you take the lead after the run of play is in favor of the opposition on their home ice. Then you give up a goal. Suddenly it's 1-1. And then in the waning moments of the period, it's at the 19:12 mark, Macklin Celebrini, and he has a penchant for these late period goals, because he has a higher level of conditioning than what I would consider the average for players in the NHL. He comes up with a big moment, gives San Jose a 2-1 lead. Let's get to the second period. San Jose still on their heels a bit. I know the shot counter does not tell us everything about the games, but, you know, Anaheim still did a very good job of controlling the game, but Igor Chernyshov was able to give San Jose a 3-1 lead.
Sharks put it back. Celebrini pushing it across the line to Chernyshov in the right corner. Back for Celebrini. Oh, the puck was bouncing on him. Otherwise, he would have tried to get it. He backhanded the slot, loses it. Chernyshov in front by himself. He scores! What a spectacular play by Macklin Celebrini. The first play, he realized he couldn't control it. He backhanded the slot and went off a body. Chernyshov went to the front of the net. Celebrini grabs it and slips it over to Chernyshov for his second goal of the year. That's a great way to put the Sharks in front 3-1.
And this is what is so scary about San Jose, because even in a situation where they had not been playing their best hockey, suddenly they can flip the game on its head and put you in a multi-goal deficit. San Jose could have been up 3-0 at that point. The only goal that had gone in for Anaheim was a mistake from Yaroslav Askarov, and San Jose is rolling at this point. And now we get William Eklund, whose offense is waking up now that he's on that same line as Macklin Celebrini. He gets his 10th of the year, and the San Jose Sharks make it a 4-1 lead.
Celebrini in forechecking. Sanders in front. They score! Macklin Celebrini forecheck, steals the puck, gives to William Eklund in the left circle, and his one-timer gets by Dostal. It's 4-1 in favor of the Sharks, and Macklin Celebrini is on fire with a goal and 2 assists.
Dostal would get pulled at that point, and it was the wake-up call that Anaheim needed as they suddenly got right back into the game. Cutter Gauthier made it a 4-2 score for Anaheim with just under 4 minutes remaining in that second period, and you could tell that Anaheim had taken the message about their goalie getting pulled, and we're not going to go down without a fight. We go into the third period. Minchikov makes it a 4-3 game, and suddenly you're thinking, uh-oh, is San Jose going to let this one slip away? The answer was no. You got to give credit to Anaheim. They're on their home ice. You know they're going to be coming hard. You know they're going to try and fight the game back into their control. They have been outshooting San Jose throughout the entirety of the game. They had been the more dominant team, but the San Jose Sharks were able to handle things. And then Zach Ostapchuk gets his first goal as a member of the San Jose Sharks. His hard work finally pays off. He'd gotten that other one taken away earlier a couple weeks ago off the high touch, but this time he puts it in the back of the net. San Jose takes a 5-3 lead that Anaheim would not be able to catch.
Kept in by the Sharks, offensive zone. Back to even strength here. But Goodrow back to the point. Iorio shoots, score! It was tipped in front. I think Zach Ostapchuk got a piece of that. That would be his first goal in the Sharks uniform, and it's a big one. The Sharks 5, the Ducks 3, with 6:13 to go.
Anaheim would pull one back to make it 5-4. Troy Terry with his second of the game, but from that point on, it was San Jose managing the penalties, the man advantage, an empty net. Of course, that penalty that was taken by John Klingberg at the 16:51 mark, they were able to handle that. And the Sharks don't cruise, but they do handle everything that came their way and walked away with a 5-4 win. Let's get into some of this post-game reaction. Zach Ostapchuk reacting to his first ever goal as a San Jose Shark with a little bit of self-deprecation.
Yeah, I mean, it took long enough. I just saw Oreo had it up top, and I was all alone. Just got a nice stick on it. So, yeah, it felt good.
And I love that there were more than a few moments throughout the game where that fourth line got out there and they could just pin Anaheim in their own end, keep them from coming out of their zone, win the battle at the blue line, or keep it in the neutral zone and out of the Sharks' defensive end. That's what that fourth line is supposed to do. They're supposed to hit. They're supposed to pin them deep. They're supposed to give some rest, change a little bit of that positional battle for a few moments, frustrate the Anaheim Ducks last night, which they did on more than a few occasions. And then if you can come up with some offense, great. You'd love to see that out of that fourth line. By the way, Vinny Iorio, that's one that we have not talked about enough in this episode. He's been so good in the last couple of games. He's finding his game. That's another guy that San Jose went out and acquired because they saw something in his game. You've got to give a large amount of credit to Mike Greer and his staff to identify players and figure out who they want to bring in with the San Jose Sharks. More from Ostapchuk talking about his line.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, playing with Revo and Goody, I mean, like I've said before, we know what we do well, and I think we stick to that pretty good. Like you said, prototypical our line goal. Goody gets it down low, get it up top, and we just get it pucks to the net, and then we crash it.
More from Ostapchuk on the Sharks' mentality and ability to win this game.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I thought we worked hard all night. It's not our prettiest, but I think good teams find ways to win, and I think that's what we did tonight.
Zach was also asked about Macklin Celebrini's play and the Olympic roster. Here's the little back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even surprise me anymore. I mean, every game it's something new with that guy. He's a very, very special player. Works his tail off out there. He's just special.
There's no way that he can't be named on 2 days from now, right? There's no way he can't be named.
In my mind, no. I mean, especially his last couple of games, if there was ever any doubt. I mean, I think it's his last couple of games. He's just solidified himself. I mean, I think he's one of the best players in the world. So.
And the rumors that were coming out last night before the game indicated that Macklin Celebrini will be on the roster. We'll see. Obviously, we don't know anything yet. By the way, I don't even talked about that puck that he took off the cheek and the upper eye where he got a little bit of a scar. I'm sure his mom absolutely loving that. But the Sharks are taking scars. They're going out there playing old school hockey. Colin Graf, Macklin Celebrini getting stitched up. You love to see it. I'm sure their moms don't again, but it is kind of fun to have this tough looking team who's battered and bruised, but still finding a way to get wins. Hey, we're out of time. 1 o'clock start on New Year's Eve right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.